off the ball.
Rugby.
Actually, it's very hard when you're on the back foot, particularly you're being dominated, giving away so many penalties, to get a foothold in with the referee.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Football
Daily. Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we'll look ahead to tonight's action in the Premier League with Thomas Frank under increasing pressure at Spurs. There's a few surprise exclusions from the upcoming AFCON. And could Aaron Connolly have an outside chance of forcing himself into the Ireland squad next March? But first today, Tottenham boss Thomas Frank insists he has the backing of the club's hierarchy. Spurs travel to Newcastle in the Premier League tonight, looking to end a run of three losses in a row in all competitions.
I think the ownership seems like good guys, intelligent people. And I think when we're dealing with intelligent people, they can see every successful dynasty, every successful club is taking time. Yeah, you have one way, you maybe win 1 year or the second year, but you can't sustain it if you don't build something sustainable.
Frank says he doesn't regret calling supporters who mocked their own goalkeeper not true Spurs fans. Guillermo Vicario was booed after he made a costly mistake in Saturday's defeat to Fulham. The Danish coach has doubled down on his criticism.
The next ball he clears is like a cheering. You can't do that. The opponents can do that. Can't do that as a fan. So in that sense, that's where I would stand by that quote. I said that. The booing, chewing, I don't think it's helpful, but we're all different.
Newcastle manager Eddie Howe says his team's moving in the right direction after a difficult start to the season. They've beaten Manchester City and Everton in their last two league games and are just 6 points off the top four. Howe knows it's important they build on their momentum against Spurs.
The league's very tight this year and a consistent run of victories can propel you very quickly up the league. We're in a better position than we were, and it, not necessarily in terms of league position, but in terms of points gap. And as you say, a couple of wins and, you know, we're back to where we want to be.
Aaron Ramsdale will start in goal once again. It's been confirmed Nick Pope will miss the next 3 weeks due to a groin injury. Meanwhile, Newcastle striker Johan Wiss has been left out of the DR Congo squad for the AFCON later this month. The 29-year-old, who joined Newcastle from Brentford in the summer for £55 million, has yet to make his debut for his new side due to a knee injury that he picked up on international duty. The Africa Cup of Nations, which will be held in Morocco, starts on the 21st of December. The final takes place on the 18th of January. Everton boss David Moyes thinks his team has the character to bounce back from their 4-1 loss to Newcastle at the weekend. That result brought an end to a three-match unbeaten run in the league. Moyes takes his team to Bournemouth tonight and he wants them to have some perspective about their progress.
Do you think how we've done from, you know, near enough this time last year to where we are now, how the players have been performing has been fantastic. We had a brilliant win on the Monday night and we probably went into the Saturday probably still carrying a little bit from that game as well.
Meanwhile, Bournemouth boss Andoni Iriola says it's clear to see where they've been going wrong as they look to put a miserable November behind them. They picked up just 1 point and conceded 12 goals in their four games.
I think it's our main issue now. We have to focus on improving defensively. It doesn't matter the goals we score. I think we are scoring a lot of goals. We are having a lot of chances. But if you are conceding 2-3 goals per game, it's very difficult in the Premier League to compete. No, I think defensively we have to be solid and we haven't been last games.
Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola hopes Phil Foden spends the rest of his career at the Etihad. The England international still has 18 months left in his contract. No deal has been agreed yet. Guardiola says he isn't sure when negotiations will start.
No idea, but hopefully going to stay all his career here. It's a special player, Man City fan for the academy. So no doubt about that, but I don't know him, his agent, the club. I don't know.
Fulham boss Marco Silva says it would be wrong to underestimate City's title credentials despite an unconvincing start to the season. Pep Guardiola's side are second, but they've already lost four times this season. Silva knows they have a tough challenge ahead at Craven Cottage tonight.
Some new players adapting for the way Pep wants to play, but you can see all around the pitch, on the bench, the quality they have, individual quality, collective point of view, as always, any Pep's team, and they are very strong and they are there.
Sean Dyche has delivered a passionate rant on what changes should be made for the good of the game. The Nottingham Forest manager's comments come after Leeds boss Daniel Farke said teams should be penalised for using apparent goalkeeper injuries as tactical timeouts. Dyche says there's a bigger problem in football right now.
The issue that needs tackling for years has been people feigning injury and diving all over the place. No one's done anything about it, really. Do that because it stops children copying, because I see children all the time diving all over the place. Why wouldn't you stop that? Not worry about 10 seconds here and there. Let's worry about the real truth of the game and what that stands for, in my opinion.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot says Mo Salah was understandably unhappy after being dropped for Sunday's win away to West Ham. It was the first time that their star player had been left out for a Premier League game since April last year. But Slot insists Salah took the decision professionally.
He was very supportive for his teammates, handled himself really well during the day and yesterday in the session as well. So you cannot be a player that's available every 3 days and play on that high standards if you go with your emotions.
Slot also confirmed Salah will go to AFCON with Egypt on the 15th of December. If Egypt were to reach that final on the 18th of January, Salah could miss up to 6 Premier League games. And on last night's football show, Eoin Sheehan was joined by Richard Jolly and John Bruin to recap last weekend's Premier League action. The trio spoke about Salah's exclusion for the team and how their future might look.
On the shape of their attack, Richard, like I think Dominic Szoboszlai, if you're calling it now, has been their player of the season so far, and also their most versatile player of the season, showing up in midfield, showing up in right back, showing up on their right wing. I mean, is there a future where that's actually where Szoboszlai plays when Liverpool have their first choice 11 throughout the year?
It felt like a fix required for that individual game rather than a long-term strategy. And I say that partly because there's been the question throughout of where do you get Wirtz in the team? And you're right that he hasn't always been as bad as might be suggested. But the problem has been, to some extent, that Slot has always wanted the trio of Gravenberch, Szoboszlai and McAllister there. And that when Szoboszlai hasn't been playing as a number 10, Liverpool have looked too easy to play through. And so when the teams dropped yesterday, I assumed Szoboszlai was playing as a 10 and Wirtz was playing wide. Now, instead, the opposite happened. But I think one thing Slot did was he picked the most solid combination he could have done on the right flank. Joe Gomez, a centre-back by trade. Dominic Szoboszlai, a hard-working central midfielder by trade. I wouldn't expect that to be the combination for 30 or 40 games, even if and not just because, you know, I think Conor Bradley is the first-choice right-back at the moment. I think it was more a case that with Liverpool, they needed a win, which is what made the dropping of Salah for this game so big. But they also needed solidity, because this is a team that ought to be able to score in every game. So if you can keep a clean sheet, you win. And Slot has complained a lot about them conceding from set pieces. They've also conceded a lot from balls down that flank. Mark Kukurea spoke about it when Chelsea played them. Salah left Jeremy Doku alone against Bradley at Manchester City. There was the PSV goal where Mauro Junior went past Salah far too easily, and then Kerkez missed his man at the far post. So it felt like a defensive fix. And this is maybe one reason to wonder if they have got the way to integrate Salah, is because it felt like the sort of fix that a struggling team can do, and it will work for two or three games, and then maybe it won't work. Liverpool have been there before. They've been there couple of years, Jurgen Klopp's penultimate season, 2022-23, when they had all the midfield injuries. And then he picked some names out of a hat and put a new trio together. And it would work well for a couple of games, and then something would go wrong. And then he'd be back to square one. And so I do wonder if the same might happen again.
If you want to hear any of our football coverage back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. To become a member, you can sign up at offtheball.com/join. Liverpool play Sunderland at Anfield tomorrow. Goalkeeper Andre Onana, who's on loan at Trabzonspor from Manchester United, has been left out of the Cameroon squad for AFCON on the same day as the squad was named. The country's federation announced that manager Mark Brice had been sacked. Onana's one of a few surprise omissions, along with Andre Frank Zambo and Gisa, Vincent Abubakar and Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting. Brian Mbeumo from United is in the squad. Galway's Aaron Connolly is the top scorer in League One with Leighton Orient this season. The Ireland international's had a turbulent time since he left Brighton, the team which he made his name with breaking through as a teenager. On this morning's Green Scene with Matthew Brennan, he joined Colin Buhig and Arthur O'Dea and debated whether Connolly could make a jump to some club in the Championship, or is he better off staying where he is?
Yeah. Is this his level, or does he need to go up again?
I think he can play above this level for sure. Yeah,
League One
for sure. This is League One. Yeah, Leighton Orient, a good team in League One. Maybe not quite billing it on the league table. They're maybe a little bit lower than they'd like to be, but they are a good team and they have some very good players. But he's playing off the left actually as well. Mm. He's up front obviously here, but he kind of plays left of a three, sometimes a two. But I would, yeah, no, he could definitely be serviceable in the middle of the championship without doubt. Like, but it's hard to kind of say that when he's had spells there in the last while. Obviously, circumstances granted, and sort of struggled. But he's the top scorer in League One. Like, I mean, anyone who's the top scorer in League One can ideally, feasibly can play a championship. Like, yeah, but I'd be fascinated to see if that happens in January. As I said, I'd be for himself. I'd love him to. I'd love him to stay there.
Yeah,
and because there's potential that Norrie can get into the playoffs like they did last year and get promoted. So.
And keeping with the theme of Irish strikers abroad, Evan Ferguson's form at Roma and Troy Parrott's penalty miss with AZ Alkmaar also proved a talking point on Tuesday's Off the Ball Breakfast.
Would you rather, here's a question, rather be in Troy Parrott's position right now with this ridicule or Evan Ferguson? Because, you know,
he's not getting ridiculed, is he?
Well, you know, maybe the ridicule of the opposition, and maybe it is in Netherlands or whatever. Yeah. Exactly. Briefing.
A
12-hour timeline of hatred, right? And they get back to me. I know you're our Troy, whereas Evan. Big Evan.
Yeah, not great. Started at the weekend in a massive game, top of the table clash between Roma and Napoli at the Olympico. And yeah, I had it on. I was actually quite excited. Like, I was like, this is huge. Like, this is a massive game in European football, like, let alone Italian football. And first couple of minutes, he started okay. He did a few decent touches, looked like standard enough. You're getting settled into a game. It's sort of reminiscent of his first couple of appearances for Roma. He was touching the ball okay, and then the game kind of settled. When the game settled and it was less kind of end-to-end, he did really struggle with a couple of, like, not gilt-edged misses, but just chances he should probably be doing a little bit better with, and loose touches and all sorts of stuff like that. Just the generic sort of stuff.
He's not out of the depth. He's not having an effect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard to know. It's hard to say that kind of confidently. It is hard to say that confidently.
Which part?
That he's not out of his depth. Like I'm not saying he is, but I'm not saying he's not.
You acknowledge that the level, or you felt that the level was lower having watched Premier League all day.
Yeah.
And he's played in the Premier League, sort of hat-trick in the Premier League, and he's not okay in the Premier League.
The level is certainly slower.
Yeah, the level is slower. It's very hard to tell, because, like, so at the opposite end was Rasmus Højlund.
Yeah.
Who played in a lovely pass for the goal that ended up winning it. Would you say there was a huge distortion between them? Maybe not. But when I don't know. Like, I don't think. I remember watching last year, like, if we're talking about that, like, so the top level of the league, Napoli, and you're watching Lukaku in there.
Mm.
And especially kind of the crunch thing in that last game, I think, against Cagliari and stuff. And, like, he's killing lads all around him. Like, he's at his peak, he's way above what they can do to him. He's absolutely monstering them. The lads that were there were nothing close to that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like it. So, like, it's a slightly, as you're saying, like, he's playing for one of the teams at the top end of the thing, but he wasn't playing like a striker at the top end of Serie A. Like, that's not the best the league has to offer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I've watched a bit of Roma this season, naturally enough. Like, and I know they are up the top of the table, but they're not that impressive to watch.
No.
Like, there's nothing about them really stands. And, like, you've seen Gasperini's teams in the past with Atalanta, like, here and there, and playing some smashing football, scoring outrageous goals, and players really who haven't gone on to achieve what they had achieved with Atalanta and hadn't achieved prior with other clubs, achieve really well with Atalanta. And maybe he just hasn't got the tools there to play the way he wants, but they obviously dropped the top of the table, so he's doing something right.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can catch The Green Scene every Tuesday morning on Off The Ball Breakfast, and The Breakfast Show is live on the Go Loud app and on YouTube every weekday morning from 7:30. And finally, Dundalk have made a couple of signings ahead of the return to the Premier Division next season. Former Bohemians midfielder Keith Buckley's joined the First Division champions, along with Ronan Tehan, who makes the move from Kerry. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.